All right, are you a note taker this morning? The title is The Son Got It Done. The Son Got It Done. It's April 20th. I cannot believe it's April 20th already, 2014. And I'm just glad to say I'm another year older, another year wiser, and I'm glad to have breath in my lungs, amen, that I can celebrate another Easter. Hallelujah. We're going to celebrate this morning, and you know, we gather in the name of Jesus because we see that Jesus had conquered hell and death and the grave. And we see that through Jesus that he had the power to complete things. He had the ability of being obedient to the call of God. And he went out and did things according to the way God wanted things done. He was obedient, and in those obedience brought the blessings of God in his life and others that he touched. He had the ability to be an overcomer. And something about Jesus is he overcame controversy. He overcame situations and circumstances. And then he overcame death, and he rose from the dead to fulfill the scriptures. I like that. This morning, we want to focus on this Easter promise that we do have life after death. If you serve Jesus, if you know him, you have life after death. You have a promise. Amen. I like promises, mostly when they come true. Amen? See, Easter means a hope for a better life because we serve Jesus. And we got to understand something, that the basis of our faith is the resurrection of Jesus. If Jesus did not raise from the dead, we wouldn't have really much to talk about. Amen? We really wouldn't. We really wouldn't have anything to say, to be honest with you. Because we'd just be gathering and talking a whole bunch of smack, but there would be no life behind the words we speak. There would be no real good examples behind what's out there. And so many people have been fooled by false religions and stuff. But the true thing that about the Word of God is that everything in the Bible is true. Even Jesus being rose from the dead. Amen. And I thought about that for a second, and I looked in. Did some research about people who have tried to be like Jesus, who created their own false religions, created their own set of rules and establishments. And I think about Muhammad and how many people are fooled by him, and Confucius and Buddha and Joseph Smith and Jim Jones and David Koresh. And I look at them, and all of them died, but not one of them ever got up. But Jesus. Jesus is the only one that got up. Jesus is the only one who's still alive. Amen. He is the one Son that got it done. Think about that. So we're going to take a look at the Bible. We're going to look at a couple scriptures this morning. And I want to challenge you. Because, see, if the Son got it done, and we're connected to the Son, and we have the same DNA as the Son, and he rose from the dead, we still have that same resurrection power in us to rise above our circumstances and situations. Amen? Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians this morning. 1 Corinthians 15:3. Amplified Bible says it this way. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. It says, "For I passed on to you, first of all, what I also had received, that Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One, died for our sins in accordance with what the Scriptures foretold, that he was buried, and he rose on the third day as the Scriptures foretold, and he appeared to Peter, then to the 12. Then later he showed himself to more than 500 brethren at one time, the majority of whom are still alive, but some have fallen asleep in death. Afterwards he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, the special messengers, and here's Paul, and the last of all, he appeared to me also, as one prematurely and born dead, no better than an unperfected fetus among living men." Take a look at 1 Corinthians 15:42. 15:42 says this in the New Living Translation, "It is the same way with the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but we will be raised to live forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They will be buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. They are buried as natural human bodies, but they will be raised as spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, there are spiritual bodies. Shout with me this morning, I have the victory over death. Death, hell, grave, couldn't hold Jesus. Can't hold me either. I'm going to get it done just like the Son. So you can get it done. Why? Because you have the victory in Christ Jesus. You got to understand, you have resurrection power in you. Amen? You might not tap into it. You may not plug into the source. You may not, it may be dormant, but it is available to you. Amen? I like this verse in verse 42. Paul was trying to show us something. That we were broken and weak, but then we're raised in the glory with His strength. Not your own strength, but His strength. Some of us are broken. Some of us are weak. Some of us are tired. Some of us can barely make another step because you got so much going on. You feel so much pressure, and things feel like they're collapsing around you. But this morning, I want to give you hope that you do have the resurrection power of Jesus inside of you. So you're born into a life that is perishable until you get connected with Jesus, because once you pass from here, all you do is to go to glory with Jesus. You step from this cycle of the world into the heavenly realm where you were born and made for anyways. That's why you feel uncomfortable and sometimes you feel out of place. It's because, see, you were really never designed for this earth. You were designed for the heavenly realm. So that's why people mock you and people make fun of you and people challenge you and people don't understand you and you're misunderstood. And what's trying to get to your point is that God has given you eternal life through Jesus. You already have the victory over death. When I check out of here, there is no doubt in my mind I'm going to be hanging with my elder brother Jesus. It'll be cool. I'm going to be able to hang around with Paul, the least of the most, you know. And I'm going to hang around with all the other apostles and hang out with them. And I'm going to see Moses. I bet his stuttering's not no longer there. Amen. And I'm going to hang out there with Noah, you know, even though you got to see that movie Noah, you know. But I'm going to hang around with Noah. I'm going to be talking to these boys, you know. And I'm going to be talking to Mary. And what was it like to have a son named Jesus and all the stuff that he did? And what was it like when they put him to death? I can't wait to be with Jesus. Take a look at Luke 24, verse 1. Luke 24, verse 1. This is the New Living Translation. It says, But very early on a Sunday morning. See, that's why a lot of people don't go to church, because, you know, God said get up early in the morning. Amen. I would have a 7 o'clock service, but y'all wouldn't show up. Amen. So we'll just do it at 10 o'clock, you know, mid-morning. Amen. But he says, early in Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. And they found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. Well, that's a whole nother story. So they went in, and they couldn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. And they stood there puzzled. I could just see him walking in and saying, where's the body of Jesus? What is going on? Where is my Savior? And there was two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. And the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. And then the men asked, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? That's a good question. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee. The Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would raise again on the third day. See, we become imperishable until we take a look at the account of the resurrection. In other words, when we are going to die, we are going to die and go to hell and put ourselves in a casket or be cremated or whatever, and that was the end of you. But then Jesus came. Amen. And I like this account. It says, and there was this angel that appeared to the women by the empty tomb. The empty tomb. It says, why do you seek the living among the dead? Interesting question. Why are you seeking this living person among the dead? He ain't here no more. And sometimes when I look at this question, I have to ask myself, are there things that I am seeking in an area that's already been dead? I don't go every Sunday to the grave site because there's nothing there for me. That's the past. I could go there and walk around and look at all the great sayings on people's lives and how long they lived, their long lives or short lives. But I'm not going to find anything living there because it's already dead. And we got to understand something, is that sometimes we focus on things that are dead when God wants you to focus on things that are alive. Sometimes we put our focus on a dead relationship when God wants you to go some different direction. You put yourself in these past hurts and you stay in the dead zone when God wants to raise you above that circumstance and situation so that you'll be doing things His way. And He's called you to do certain things, but those things are now dead. Because He's got something better for you. He wants you to focus on things that are alive. Those dead relationships, let them go. If God wants to come back, He'll resurrect them. See, He was trying to tell Mary and say, listen, man, don't focus on the death. Focus on life. See, even the greatest and the lowliest people, once you know Jesus, you are assured that you have heaven. Amen? The resurrection of Jesus, all that says is that the Son got it done. God bless you. What you need to understand about resurrection, it means that we have the victory over sin. Remember how sin used to bind you up and hold you up and jack you up and just all that stuff? Shout with me this morning, I have victory over sin. See, we were born in sin, but the resurrection raised us above the sin. Jesus' blood washed us and made us spotless and made us brand new, and we're no longer like that person that we used to be like, that nobody liked, that was foul and stunk. See, you were sown in weakness, but through the resurrection of Jesus, you were raised in power. You were born weak, but now you have the power to resist sin because you have Jesus and His resurrection. Temptation. You have power over that. Sin that was in your life, you have power over that. It means that because of the resurrection of Jesus, you do have power over sin. Power over your temptations, power over the lust of the flesh, power over drugs and alcohol, power over broken relationships, power over financial bondage, power over every circumstance in your life. God has given you, through Jesus, through His resurrection, the power to get that. What you did in the past is the past. Leave it alone. If God already forgave you and forgot about it, forgive it, forgot it, and move on. Don't allow your old circumstances to rise up again and start causing you headaches. You might have been a tax cheat, but once you got saved, you don't cheat on your taxes no more. You give Caesar to Caesar, and sometimes he wants a little bit more. Go ahead and give a little bit more to the federal government. That's okay. Somebody else needs it. Amen? Just pay your fair share. Don't try to, you know, to scam them and cheat them, because it will come back and bite you. Most if you're a Christian. See, the resurrection, I like the resurrection of Jesus because it reminds me that we have the power to come back. You know, you ever see a team playing sports and football, and they might be down. I mean, I remember, you know, when I'm a Lions fan, and don't yell at me for that because you're not really good. And I'm still hoping for the miracle that they'll get to the Super Bowl, amen. And they said that's when hell freezes over. So I just, you know, I don't know when that's going to be, amen. But I was thinking about that, and I used to have these season tickets, and when I was young, and I'd go to these games, and the Lions would be up by 21 points by halftime, you know, and I'm like, we got this one in the bag, and at the end of the game, we'd lose by 14. The other team came back, and you're like, what happened? Were they at the beer concession stand for the halftime, and that's why they, when they came out, they just blew it, you know? I mean, you know, and that's in the day when I had, you know, Barry Sanders, who could run 150 yards, you know, and he was like a bullet. And we're like, man, we're going to win this one. And at the end of the game, we'd like, the other team came back. And every week, we would be ahead, and then the other team would come back. Shall I possess the power for a comeback? So you got to understand, God is the God of the second chance, the third chance, the 150 chance. Amen. Because he's forgiven me, he's given me more grace and mercy. I thought I used it all up. He said, I'm going to give you just a little bit more, boy. I thought about this, and Jesus, remember when he cried and says, my God, why have you forsaken me? But see, God is the God of a second chance, and he does not forsake us. Because what seemed hopeless on that Friday afternoon, become the greatest comeback on Sunday morning. In other words, the Son got it done. Let me tell you something. No matter how far we've strayed from God, no matter how many times we didn't listen to Him, no matter how long we've been on a wayward path, no matter, none of that means anything, because God will take us back. I've made mistakes. I've been down that road. I remember I got saved like 15 times. You know, the first year I got saved, I got saved 15 times. I'd be the guy at the altar every week crying. I mean, I blew it again. You know, I mean, you know, I backslid every day. It seemed like, you know, I got to get to that church on Wednesday. Are they open again on Thursday? I hope so. You know, oh, I got to wait all the way to Saturday. You know, and I go back on Saturday and I go to church on Sunday. And you know, when I got saved, because I didn't want to. Have that guilt, you know. But I just keep on coming back. And then I learned that God's grace was more than enough. Then I learned that once I understood about His resurrection power, that I could start to use that power that God's given me through His Word to deal with my circumstances and deal with my situations and deal with my sin and in my thought life and start cleaning that stuff up. And if I messed up, I come right back, and God would say, hey, come on, I got you. God is big about comebacks. He loves when people come back to Him. I was thinking about the prodigal son. You know, he came back to the Father. How many times do we come back to God? Because He gives us chance after chance after chance after chance, because we're all jacked up. We live in this world. This world is not conducive for Christians. Think if the whole world was Christian. Wouldn't that be cool? Have a whole bunch of religious fanatical people crazy. Telling you can't do this, can't do that. No. I just love how Jesus just walked the Word. He wasn't out beating people up, hitting them in the head with the Bible. He'd just go out and prove that He was God just by how He spoke. He always spoke with authority. See, God wants you to speak with that same authority. Because when you use His name, you have the authority, you get things done. The resurrection, I love it, demonstrates the reach of God's redemption. I love God's redeeming power. Tap your neighbor and say, neighbor, you're not out of the reach of God's hands. I've been redeemed. I've been bought back with a great price. Think about what Jesus did. I mean, I'm amazed that God would send His only begotten son. That's like me saying, I only have, you know, one son that I made with my wife, and I'm going to sacrifice him. I'd have some trouble with that. But God had a great plan to redeem us. And I think about something that Paul wrote. You know, Paul wrote in that 1 Corinthians 15, verse 7 and 8, that he appeared to James first, and then to all the apostles, and then the last one was Paul. And you think about Paul wrote, you know, most of the New Testament, and he did, I think he did more than most of the other apostles. And the other apostles did a good thing, but he did so much. I mean, once he got transformed by the power of God's word, man, he was like on fire, man. He's like, he ain't playing. And so I looked at Paul, and I looked at the scripture there, and there's a Greek phrase, the one that was prematurely born, it said, that word means to literally be snatched from the womb. It means to be like a cesarean section or an abortion. In other words, that baby is in there and it just gets snatched out. That's what God did when he redeemed us. He snatched us out of going to hell. He just went, no, you're going to be with me now forever. He snatched us out. And you think about Paul, he persecuted Christians. And I love what he says, I am the least of the apostles. It was by God's grace that I am what I am. I was snatched out of the depths of sinfulness and brought into the loving grace and mercy of God through his resurrection. That's pretty cool. If he did it for Paul, he'll do it for you. No matter what you've done, no matter what trouble you've been in, no matter how far you think you're away from God, he can reach out and snatch you for the kingdom. That's what he did to me. I want kicking and fighting. I want this Jesus thing. I was talking to my brother the other day, and I told him, I said, he's got some great plans for the kingdom of God, and we were talking, and he's so proud of his son, that, you know, the CTI, and he's going all these, you know, places around the world. He's traveling, and God has just been setting him up, meeting my brother's job. He meets presidents of countries and stuff, and just setting him up for the next phase of ministry. You know what I'm saying? And we were talking, and I laughed, and I said that, you know, it was you that really led our family to Christ. I mean, we all went to church and everything, but we didn't really have that personal relationship. And I says, and I remember when you got saved, we were like, man, you just messed up, boy. I mean, you know, we're gonna get some intervention, and we're gonna help you, and when I think and I look back at that, my brother had one of those Paul experiences. You couldn't tell him anything different. Once he had that transformation, that experience that he found out that he was redeemed and he was the least of all, he was on fire for God. Carrying a Bible to work and having Christian CDs, and there's no more, you know, heavy metal and no more Rolling Stones, and you know, he had to clean out his ashtray from all his stuff he had in there, and quit drinking and smoking and cussing. Now, what happened to my brother? He got redeemed. He got bought back from the purchase of Jesus. See, in Paul, all he's trying to say is, no matter how unworthy you are, no matter how undeserving of his grace, when you come to Jesus and you confess your sins, you're inviting him into your life, and he reaches down to the very pit of where you're at and pulls you out into his loving arms. That's what Jesus did. And I think about Psalms 119, you know, where it says, he tells that there's never a mountain too high, never a sea too deep, never a place too far that God cannot reach us. Because see, that's the point we got to get to. We, you know, we can get saved, and then we say, well, but he won't forgive me of this. And, you know, I've been in trouble with this, or I've been in trouble with the law here, or, you know, they may count it against you, but in God's eyes, he's already forgiven it. I know people that are in the jail system and in the prison system, and yes, they're behind bars, but they know Jesus, and they are so free. No place that God cannot reach down and pull you up and out of what you've been going through. See, God should have gave us a blast of judgment, but instead he gave us the blessing of redemption. He blessed us. He wanted us to serve him and be with him and talk like him and enjoy the richness of who he is. The empty tomb, I love it, is just a reminder of who we serve. We serve an awesome God. The empty tomb wasn't for anything other than for us to look inside and say, he ain't there no more. It was a place of and point of contact where there's a proof that God exists. He's not dead, but he's truly alive. That's why we celebrate Easter. It's not about the Cadbury eggs and all those that will be on sale tomorrow. I can't wait to go buy those for 25 cents each. Praise God. They'll be on sale at Walgreens, I already asked. We'll get a whole bunch of those, man. You have to go to the gym an extra hour. It's not about seeing the Easter bunny or wearing an Easter bonnet. It's about Jesus. That he rose from the dead. That he's not dead, but he's truly alive. You and I need to learn to walk and act in the power of God as believers. God wants us to get it done like his son. He's given you a piece of time to go and get it done. He's already blessed you. He's already anointed you. He's already appointed you. You just need to step out of the grave and walk into his greatness. You need to know that when you step in, that you're not alone, that you got God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on your side. You got to remember that sin and sickness and disease have been washed away by the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus. I mean, you think about what happened on that Friday when he got scourged and he had thorns put in his head and they whipped him and they beat him and then they put him out. They made him walk with the cross and they scoffed at him and they made fun of him. Guess what? That's what people are going to do to you. But Jesus. And he took those nails in his hands and in his feet and then they pierced his side. And then he said, it's done. And then 3 days later, oh, you got the victory. See, people think that you're down and out and they've already counted you done. But Jesus got a different plan. But Jesus said, you're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You're blessed coming in, but you're more blessed going out. The first five people told you no on the resume, but the sixth one's going to say yes. See, the first five use things against you, but God's going to find the one that he's going to wipe that slate clean and say, come on, man. I don't care about your past. You seem like the person that I need. What you did 15 years ago or 10 years ago or 5 years ago, and if you can change, guess what? Come on board. See, we have the victory over death's defeat, victory over sin. We have the power to come back. I love that. I'm like the comeback kid a million times. How many times have you come back when it looked pretty bleak, when it looked pretty down, when it looked pretty like ain't going to happen, but then God allowed you to come back? They counted me dead. They already had put a tag on my toe and said, your expiration date is then. This pancreas thing you had, you are dead. And it looked like I was out, but then God stepped in. Said, whoa! That one I got some purpose for. That one I've got a plan for. That one I got something to use him for. Or use her for. So no, he ain't out yet. I'm just going to raise him up from the dead. And then the devil come knocking on you again and try to give you cancer or sickness or disease. And then God just steps in and says, oh, nope. That's one of mine. You had to go through the test so you can have a testimony. The bigger your test, the larger your testimony. And God sometimes keeps it dormant for a 3-day period or whatever that might be. Amen. Because when he's ready to expose you, he's going to make sure he rolls away the stone so when people check you out, say, whoa, where'd this person come from? Well, that person's walking with the power of God. My ministry hasn't touched everybody yet, but it's going to. I don't know how. I don't know when, but I know I'm in that three-day process. You know, if you ever had spaghetti sauce, it's nice to simmer a couple days. You know, low, that's good. It might have you on simmer for 3 days. But you got to know that you already have the victory in Christ Jesus. You don't want to bring a cake out when it's only half cooked. So sometimes he has to allow you to go through some things and be a little torched by the fire of hell. Because sometimes it needs to get you some things off of you. You ever put alcohol inside of food when you cook it? It burns it off. And sometimes that's what's happening. God's burning some of those things off of you so that when you rise from the dead, which you already have, amen, and he goes and uses you, people are going to get and see, and you're going to be drawing a lot of attention. So he wants to make sure that there's nothing that can stay on you. So he allows you to go through some tests so people can't say, well, you never experienced this. Oh, no, I already been through that. Oh, no, I already died and came back to life. I was already broke, busted, and disgusted, and I didn't like that too much. So I just started serving Jesus, and I tithed myself out of the circumstances that I'm in. Come on now. I had a plan to go to college and do this, but God touched my heart and said, I want you to come over here and do this for a season. I'm going to put this on a hold for a period because I got something better for you. Sometimes he raises you out of your circumstance and situation because he's got something better for you. He moves you out of some situations because he's got something better for you. He raises you up. He positions you to succeed. He's given you the power and the ability to get it done just like the Son. You have been set apart for this day, for this time, to do greatness through the things of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But you now need to step out of the grave and walk into the promises of God. You are blessed. You are healed. You can get it done. Because this is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. He was risen from the dead. Guess what? Today's your day that you're coming out. Today's the day that you step out. Today's the day that you said, I'm not going to put I've been putting off this, I've been putting off. God says, today's the day that you quit putting things off. Today's the day that you say, I'm going to start getting it done. I'm going to start making one step forward. Today's my day for the comeback. All those that held me back, all those that have spoken trash about me, God, you're gonna, come on now. There's nothing better than when someone comes back. There's nothing better when you see your team that was losing come back. And you go, yeah, man, my team's winning. And they won. See, you already won because you already have the Son of God on your side. You already have the victory in Christ Jesus. You are already a winner, not a loser. Your past is forgotten and your future is bright because he's no longer on that cross no more. He dwells right here. He dwells right here. Everywhere I go, he's with me. I'm smarter than the average bear. Hallelujah. Why? Because I got Jesus. He's on my side. Game over. I win. Come on. Devil throws something at you. Just say, hey! Oh! Look what the Lord has done. It's just a hindrance before you get the blessing. And the more that you feel the hindrance, the bigger the blessing. That's why you've been opposed by so much spiritually. You've been opposed by so much and by so much tension and pressure. This is what the Lord's telling me. And it feels like it's overwhelming, but there's about to be a breakthrough. The dam has gotten to weaken, and God's right about to bust forth some stuff in your life. And the devil's trying to discourage you and hold you back and trying to say, well, you know, you've been waiting 10 years for this. I've been waiting 11 years. They have 100 people come to church. And if I have to wait another 11 years, I will. Because it's not about the numbers. It's about changing people. I love when people, how many are you running? Just the right amount of people. But I know God is only preparing us. See, Jesus only had 12 and one sold them out. And look what he did, how he changed the whole world. Why? Because they tapped into the resurrection of power of Jesus. They got a hold of who he was and who he is in your life. And guess what? The world's got to back away. They have to stand and go, oh my God. That's a Christian. Why? Because you act like it, you talk like it, you don't boast about it, you just know and you're sure of who you are in Christ Jesus. He's no longer on the cross. He has risen. This morning, please, take some time and raise above your situation by giving him the glory and the praise. Worship him today in spirit and in truth. Get some CDs on and worship and thank him for what he has done for you. Let me tell you, the greatest breakthroughs come through when you worship him. You notice the music change, how we've had it. You notice how the difference of the flow is different. Why? Because I want you to understand there's, when you look at the words there, there's something to be said there. His grace is more than enough. He created you for this season. Not next week. Not next week's season. Now season. 2014 season. Told me just, you know, drink some Jolt coffee or something, whatever you need to do, but get turbocharged because God's got some big stuff for you. Get things in alignment and agreement with his word today. Don't be waiting. Just do it. He's called you to do something. Do it. Don't waste time. The sooner you get into the three-day period, the third day comes real quick. And some of you have been in the first day and some of you have been in the second day, but the third day is coming. God just wanted me to tell you that, yeah, sometimes it seems like it's a long 24-hour period. But joy comes in the morning. My wife went through labor. I remember it was intense for those hours, but then the joy came. That baby was in there for 9 months, percolating, taking on my DNA, growing a mustache. Poor Amanda. And but she was our cesarean baby. We had to snatch her out. Remember the doctor saying, we're going to snatch her out of there and bring her into the world. That's what God did for us. He snatched us out of somewhere going to hell to go to heaven. He did it for you. The Son got it done. Heavenly Father, bless your people this week. Father God, as they go, Lord God, from this place, I ask you, Lord God, that they are called highly favored. They're blessed. They're increasing, Lord God. I ask you, Lord God, wherever they go, Lord God, that they possess the land for Jesus. For, Lord God, wherever their feet go, Lord God, it's holy ground. Father God, whatever they're seeking, Lord God, they'll find this week. Father God, I know the doors seem to be closed for some, but Lord God, this is the week, Lord God, that you're going to open. This is the day, Lord God, that they're going to rise above their circumstances and situations. Heavenly Father, I ask you, Lord God, to open up doors of opportunity. Open up, Lord God, things that have been logjammed, things that have been locked up, things that have been cooped up, Lord. I ask you, Lord God, to open up those locks, Lord God, in the heavenly realm, Lord God. To open up the doors, Lord God, of those gates, Lord God, that have been holding us back, Lord God. Lord God, give us the keys, Lord God, through your word, Lord God, to speak the truth and get it done for the Son. I ask you, Lord God, to let us tap into the power of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Today, Lord God, let it be a day, Lord God, of increase. Today, Lord God, let us get it done. Let us do something different than we've never done before. Father God, we want to change. We want to be different. We want to increase, Lord God, doing it your way. So, Father God, help us through your word. Help us connect with people, Lord God, that are going to stand by our side, Father God, and encourage us, Lord God. And those, Lord God, that are naysayers, Lord God, let them fall away, Lord God, so that, Lord God, we just build ourselves around people that, Lord God, are singly focused on the things of God. I ask you, Lord God, to bless your people, to increase them. Let them have a great family time, Lord God. Let them increase, Lord God, in their love and compassion for one another. I ask you that bless this Easter Sunday in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.